This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Yeah, good afternoon. It is the Gas House Gang with you until 1 o'clock every weekday, 12 to 1. Today, it is Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji. At 12:15, we're going to talk to former St. Louis Ram defensive end Chris Long will be on the show. And also at 12:30, we have the new sideline reporter and studio host for the St. Louis Cardinals on TV, Danny Wexelman. But first, we talked to Matt Pauley from spring training.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof, we always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, Matt Pauley in what is officially the first full workout day for pitchers and catchers in Florida. Matt Pauley is down there right now. And so, guys have been there. And I know we talked a little bit about this on the show earlier today, Matt. But, you know, it's really, really happening right now in Florida. We're getting ready for the season.
It is, and I actually I have some news today. Like, it's not just going to be pontificating.
I love
have
news.
Some things to share with you. Okay, we talked to Heim Bloom. I got three items for you of note. Item number one, Yvonne Herrera is having insurance issues when it comes to the WBC, so he may not be able to appear in the WBC. They are going to get that worked out, hopefully, in the next few days. Time is of the essence, but because he is still dealing with an injury, right now he's not really doing a whole lot of catching. He can hit, but he's still coming along from a lower body standpoint. So insurance issues for Yvonne Herrera impacting his WBC involvement. Item number two, Heim revealed that they did put waiver claims in for George Soriano when he had been placed on waivers at previous times and ended up not getting them, and then obviously they make the trade for him. And then the third bit of news is there's not really a change in the timeline for Lars Nootbaar, but there is a piece of equipment that he is currently using to go through the rehab process. Because the spring training facility is brand new and equipment is continuing to be delivered, the Cardinals do not currently have this piece of equipment that Lars Nootbaar needs. So Nootbaar is going to stay in California past the report date for position players and continue his rehab there for a few more days once he kind of graduates from using this piece of equipment. So there you go.
Yeah, it's the Herrera thing. I have mixed feelings because this sounds terrible. I don't mean it to sound terrible. I'm so invested in him being the catcher because he wants to be the catcher. The Cardinals give him a chance. Like, if he would play for Team Panama, it's not like I'm going to like criticize anybody. But I'm not. Let's just say if he doesn't, I'm not brokenhearted. I'll be able to.
He get really over. Wants to. I know that. Yeah, I know he really, really wants to play for Team Panama, so it's a bummer for him. But this is a huge year for him. I think this is the year where you figure out whether or not he can actually continue to catch. I don't think you have to figure out at what level he can catch, but it's probably a yes-no button that's going to be pushed this year for him. So I think in many ways there's value to him being, to your point, Bernie, there's value to him being in Jupiter this whole entire time.
So then what is the Nootbaar timeline then? If that hasn't changed, what exactly is it at this point?
Yeah, they want to get him here, but they can't get him here until he's progressed past this thing where he needs this piece of equipment that they have in California. So Heim really didn't put a timeline. He said today that the timeline hadn't changed. He said that they have not yet taken opening day off the table. He will not be ready to play in games when Grapefruit League games begin. That's not a shocker. So they don't feel like the timeline has changed much. This is unfortunately just part of the growing pains of a new facility where there's this rehab piece of equipment, whatever it is, that they do not have available for him to use in Jupiter.
A follow-up question on that. Okay, if Newt's not available, or let's just say early in the season, whether it's first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, who starts in the outfield?
That's a great question. Maybe somebody who's not on the roster right now. Himes said that they are still continuing to look at right-handed outfield bats that are available. Obviously, nothing's happened. Did not make it seem like anything was imminent. They really feel like they're going to be able to get more out of Church this year. They don't feel like what we saw from him offensive profile-wise last year, that that is indicative of who he is as a ball player, that he's going to be able to do a lot more. I've heard a bunch of people say that. Just walking around, I can't tell you how many times his name has come up. He's all of a sudden become one of those, you know, there's those guys that like teams fall in love with or as instructors fall in love with. I think that might be Nathan Church a little bit because I keep hearing him talked about. So that I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, Bernie, but that's the answer I'm going to give you.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a fair answer. I think that the idea, and I know we talked a little bit about this yesterday, I think with you, Matt, that having somebody who is a veteran presence who can play the outfield really could help out. And it's immeasurable. I mean, you can't really put it into numbers how that would do for somebody like Jordan Walker. Do they really need somebody like that? Does this roster need, because it is a young roster, everybody's under 30, do they need somebody like that? Because we're talking about players making progress and learning and growing so that the Cardinals can have a better idea of what they need next year and moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think we start getting caught up in this, like, broadcaster talk that doesn't actually matter when we start talking about the need for leadership. I mean, they did the thing a couple years ago when they brought in Matt Carpenter because, oh, they needed more leadership in the clubhouse. And when you start making decisions based off that and not just based off a skill set that you want to add to the team, I start feeling like that's a bad path to go down. Now, the skill set that they need is a right-handed bat that can play in the outfield. If you happen to bring along for the ride somebody who's a little longer in the tooth and maybe they can provide a little bit of sage wisdom here and there in the clubhouse, nobody's losing in that scenario. But if the first box that you're checking off is this dude's old and he's been around for a while and he's known for a good teammate, that's where I push back a little bit because I want the first box to be checked off. This guy does things on the baseball field that can help the team win games.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. For example, I was one person talking about, well, you know, Andrew McCutchen's a class act, highly respected within the game. He could play that mentor role because he's done it and young players love him. But then I realized he doesn't play outfield anymore. Like he doesn't. No. Like he's no longer really an outfielder. So they're not going to sign him. I'm just giving a hypothetical of why
his name was out there.
Yeah, why you're not going to get the guy because for leadership purposes, he can't come here and be a DH only. I mean, it's just kind of silly. And then the other thing, I think Tommy Pham has got leadership abilities. I know players respect his intensity. He's incredibly knowledgeable. He loves to help younger guys. He's always there to advise. But Tommy Pham, even though I'm a huge fan of his, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, let's say. So you have to wonder about that. I've seen some people mention Starling Marte. I did some deep research on that. He's got a really, really bad knee. No one knows if he can even play. If they want to get a glove guy who can help them out in the outfield, Manuel Margot is a really good defender, but he's got a light bat. Who else was I looking at? You got Randall Grichuk, and low average, low on base guy, but he's the best power right-handed bat out there, and he can play left field for you, probably even right. There's just not a lot there that jumps out and says, ah, that's a great fit.
No, and I'm gonna be kind of sassy about this. Like when people are throwing these names out there, go look at their baseball reference page and see if they actually check the box that the Cardinals need. Because there was that groundswell of, oh, Andrew McCutchen's going to be the guy. Andrew McCutchen has played 12 games in the outfield over the last 2 years and hasn't played more than 50 games in the outfield since like 2021. It's been a while. Starling Marte. The Mets moved him off the outfield as much as they possibly could because of the concerns that you just mentioned, Bernie. He's not an outfielder anymore. You have to have somebody who can be that true platoon outfielder. The Tommy Pham thing is interesting, but only if he's willing to walk in here and be a part-time player. And I can't speak to this personally, but I have spoken with many, many people who are either still in touch with Tommy or know Tommy real well, and all indications are that he wants to be more of an everyday kind of guy. He doesn't want to be a platoon guy. So if that's his attitude coming in, it's not a fit. So you have to find the fit. And I think right now, Randall Grichuk, unless you pull off a trade, which seems unlikely, Randall Grichuk seems like the best fit. And it's if he comes off the board, at that point, it's, you know, what else do you – you're going to – do you start to look at Thomas Tejasi and Jose Fermin playing in the outfield a little bit more to try to check those boxes?
The only argument I would make is that maybe in certain cases like this one with Walker, who could still be very important to their future, and he is still very young, that this roster for this year doesn't really matter because wins and losses don't matter. In 2026 for them, it is about growing some of these players. And if there is a psychological component to his game that he needs some veteran help, the right mouth in his ear, that's the only argument I would make, is that if it does help him, and I don't know, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it'd have no benefit whatsoever. But that's the only argument I would make for doing something like that.
Matt Pauly and Bernie Miklas vote against you.
That's fine. I could be on the other side of this. That's fine. I am more than willing to be the minority in this. Matt Pauly, you've got Sports Open Line. No, you don't. You have a countdown to opening day tonight at 6.
Yep, we did. We do, and it's going to be a good show tonight, so be tuned in.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
That is Matt Pauly. Rush Hour Sports as well at 5 o'clock. We've got Chris Long, former St. Louis Ram, joining the show next. But Bernie, tell everybody about our friends at Stewart's American Mortgage.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Good get off by Chris Long. Jams, pull, and get to the quarterback.
Beat track from behind. Chris Long's got a sack. Going to escape? No, Chris Long's got it from behind.
On the show today, it is the Gas House Gang, and it is brought to you by Celiga Heating and Cooling, CeligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. We talked to an old friend today, Chris Long, formerly of the St. Louis Rams. He is the host of the Green Light Podcast and founder of the Water Boys Charity, which we're going to get to in just a moment. Chris Long on the show with Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji today. How's it going, Chris?
What's up, fellas? How y'all been?
Hey, we're doing great, man. The Super Bowl ended a few days ago. I think I'm already having football withdrawals. How does it feel for you when you're post-Super Bowl and waiting for training camp months away?
Honestly, it feels great because, we cover every team. So about when the playoffs start, you know, the games that you have to cover get cut in basically half. And then, you know, every round there's less football I got to know. And then once you get the NFC and AFC championships, it's kind of like, man, the off season's here. So, yeah, bittersweet for sure. My favorite weekend's probably divisional round. I love wild card weekend and all that, but like after divisional round, you're kind of like, it's kind of the end. So it's bittersweet for sure.
Chris, Bernie, man, it's great to talk to you. And I think Greenlight is excellent. People need to just check that out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Man,
it's good to talk to you. Hey, I just want to ask you a big picture question. I mean, you come to the NFL, second overall pick for the Rams in 2008. You played a long time. I think you experienced just about everything, including having a chance to go get a Super Bowl. But your last year was 2018. So here's what I'm asking. You look back on your career. What do you make of your career? How much did you love playing football, and did you get everything out of it that you wanted to?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's such a funny question because you don't get asked like, "What do you make of it?" a lot. But I think as you put it, I experienced everything in the book from 1-15 to 2-14 to making a big contract out of college and having to deal with the pressures of that and, failing early and then becoming a good player And, you know, it's and then earning a second contract and being regarded as one of the better pass rushers in the league. So I had the ups and downs in my time in St. Louis. And certainly on the field, we had a lot of losses. And then, you know, to play as a vet and play on Super Bowl teams and, you know, making closer to league minimum. And, you know, so, I mean, for me, football was always, you know, it wasn't about the money or, you know, your contract or anything like that. It was always about, like, the pursuit of excellence and, you know, competition and trying to put one foot in front of the other and grind. Like, I really do love the grind. I love to work hard, and I kind of love the feeling of waking up in the morning with that proverbial gun to the head where it's like, you got to go and you got to produce and you got to, like, you just get used to that. So I think that's the hardest thing of being away from it sometimes is, you know, being away from that grind. And I find ways to overwork in my business now. And my wife has to remind me to chill out sometimes and take some time away. But, like, that's what it was about to me was, you know, it's the pursuit of something that, you know, you may never achieve. And for a long time, it felt like I wasn't going to achieve it, you know, being in St. Louis and playing for the Rams. Although I love my time there, we never got over the hump. You know, the one thing I do wish our defensive lines were able to get more notoriety, you know, kind of in the middle there. I thought we were a really good group and kind of got lost in the shuffle. And when you're not on a great team, guys don't get the accolades and you don't, you know, I don't think people nationally see you play, but that's not why you play the game. You play the game for pride and you play the game to play with your brothers. And I still got a group text with those guys from St. Louis, the William Hayes's and Robert Quinn's and Aaron Donald and Eugene Sims and Kendall Langford. And the list goes on of guys, Brockers, that we still talk every week on our group text pretty much. And so I value those years a lot.
Speaking of defense, pretty good one, just won the Super Bowl. Was Seattle the best team in the league this year, you think, with a season in which the Bills exited pretty early from the playoffs and the Chiefs never even got there?
Yeah, I think Seattle proved to be the best team in the league. I mean, listen, this was a very unique year where you could probably say reasonably a month before the Super Bowl or 6 weeks before the Super Bowl, hey, you know, 10 to 12 teams could reasonably end up in this game. You know, the parity, people love parity. Or they act like they love parity, and then they get a season that's ridden with parity, and, you know, you get a Super Bowl that's kind of uneven, and, you know, maybe it was more defense than offense, and people complain about that. But I think for a change, seeing the field open up like that was a lot of fun, and I think Seattle's defense obviously is a separating unit. And for the Pats, they had to – listen, they had to play probably the five best defenses in the league en route to that. They're four best defenses in the league en route to that Super Bowl. And so you feel for a guy like Drake May, and, you know, I think he'll be back on a deep playoff run soon. I love Mike Vrabel. But, you know, they just probably – they punched above their weight to get there. And then you get in that game in Seattle, who John Schneider did such a great job, the GM there, of just assembling talent, like on both sides of the ball. Everything they've done, really, when you look at it through the draft or free agency, has worked for them. Their roster was just so much better, and they're the only team, I think, in the playoffs to not turn the ball over, you know, to make that Super Bowl run and have no turnovers on offense. Like, that's the, you know, it's a boring thing and it's cliche, but if you look at the playoffs, turnovers marred so many performances. And, you know, you mentioned the Bills, like, the turnovers are what sunk them. I think they would have given us a much better Super Bowl. But, you know, it is what it is. And Denver, with that really inopportune turnover, if they don't throw that ball backwards, I think they win that game. So, you know, it's just I was talking to Julian Edelman last week about this. A lot of times in the playoffs, it's not the plays that people make, but it's the mistakes that people do and don't make.
One other question, and I know we want to talk about your charity, which is valuable, but you had a chance to play for Bill Belichick. You had a chance to know what it's like to be in the same building, on the same field, practice field with him. Kind of the man behind the reputation or the image. Number one, what was that like? And number two, I have to ask you, how did you feel about his exclusion from the Pro Football Hall of Fame time through?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to play for him, obviously, and I love that. I mean, you know, I didn't love, you know, the fit schematically or anything like that. I was kind of playing that position there. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons that I might not think it was a perfect place for me, but I went, and a lot of the reason I went there was because Bill was there, and, you know, I was ring chasing. I mean, after years 1-15 or 2-14 or ceiling being 7-9, I wanted to have a shot at winning the whole thing, or at least feel what playoff football felt like. And I am forever indebted for him taking a shot on me and saying, hey, we think you're a really good player. And, you know, we don't necessarily have a positional fit for you, but we're going to figure it out. And I just appreciate him for that. And he was always honest. You know, that's the one thing players appreciate is honesty. And I've had a lot of coaches that walk a mile around, like, confrontation with a player, telling a player the truth. And he just was always a guy that would shoot you straight. And I'll say this about him. He used to walk around the practice field in New England, and you'd be doing your drills as a defensive lineman. And, you know, not that you'd slack off, but you wouldn't expect your head ball coaches standing behind you. And then you hear his voice. And I'd be like, damn, that's the best coaching point I got all day. Like, this guy, he legitimately could coach each position better than the position coach. And I think that's what made him great. And so I think he's the best coach of all time. I know he didn't coach as well in other spots, but he also, you know, the defense, as a defensive coordinator for, you know, the Giants, they put his game plan in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, it wasn't just being a head coach, also as a coordinator. And there's a lot of people that tear him down because of certain things, and I understand that. But, you know, if you wanted to make Spygate like a Pete Rose type thing, then you would have yanked him and said you can't coach football anymore. I just thought, like, you know, if you were going to enjoy all the successes as a league that the Patriots put forward and all the great things that he did for the league, then you kind of got to move past that and then litigate it. You know, as if it's kind of been litigated already once he gets to the Hall of Fame. I did not agree with making him wait a year. Like, if it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be in the next go around, like, what does this do? You know, if as a Hall of Fame, you're saying, hey, we're standing on a moral high ground and something that he did is below us, and it should be below you each year that he's up for election in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. It doesn't change in just a year. If he did something so bad, what does 1 year do to make it go away? So I'm not a fan of whatever lesson they were teaching him is kind of what it felt like to me. But I did get to know him a lot, even as a broadcaster. I mean, like, we did Inside the NFL last year, and I got to know a totally different side of Bill. It's definitely like an onion, you know. But sitting in production meetings with him before a show, I got to see a totally different side of him. It felt like I was on his coaching staff, and I get to watch him, like, watch film and see the way he thinks about players, not in the front of the room, but, like, the way he'd go through it in a film room. And he is so damn funny. And honestly, like, I'll never forget, like, my kids coming up for the show and the way he treated my kids. And, you know, just really, he can laugh and he can love up on you, and he can be fun at work. But when he's coaching, you don't see that side as much, and I totally get it. But just a lot of fun to work with him, and I value my time playing for him as well. And listen, like I said, I didn't love everything about my time there, from a scheme fit and that sort of thing. And I left in free agency on my own volition, like, year in. So it wasn't perfect, but, you know, you'll never hear me say a bad thing about Bill. And then, you know, after I left, Bill is one of the few coaches that's kind of stayed in touch. That's a weird thing to say, because I was such a small part of that chapter. You know, he's won so many Super Bowls. I'm one guy, you know, one cog in a wheel 1 year. And to get a text from him, like, a couple years later, like, I heard you complimenting the way we travel on your show, man. I really appreciate it. Like, that's just so out of character for what you would think Bill Belichick is about. But he cares about his players, and we had a great team full of great teammates.
Water Boys is Chris Long's charity, and there is a new campaign, Chris, called Built by Water. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Built by Water is a 10-year anniversary campaign. We're celebrating a decade of clean water impact, and it started actually right there in St. Louis. So, you know, St. Louis is a big part of that story, and the campaign is just rooted in a simple truth. Like, every thriving community is built by clean water. When you get into the cause, you realize it. When you work someplace and you give the gift of clean water and you see the before and after, you know, it is a holistic kind of solution that a lot of places can really enjoy. And, you know, I'll be going to Tanzania here on Tuesday, and we'll be doing Kilimanjaro again. So, you know, it's someplace that we've worked a lot, over 600,000 people in the United States and in East Africa that we've provided with clean water. I think we've done 140 solar-powered wells out there in Tanzania and Kenya, and 25 domestic wells for, like, low-income families in the U.S. So we've done 30 schools with filtration systems in the U.S. We've worked in Navajo Nation, Appalachia, kind of connecting people who are off the grid to the grid. And, you know, we just we love what we do. And you know, once you see the work done, you see the difference it makes. I mean, it can totally transform a community. And, you know, I do have to say, man, we've loved continuing to work in St. Louis. It's so important to us. Like I said, it's where we got our start. And we're also, I think we launched EdZone last year, which is kind of an essential needs item, a campaign that we've undertaken in elementary and middle schools. And we've got 4 middle schools in St. Louis that have lockers in their schools. So we're really excited about just continuing to work in the St. Louis community. And we appreciate the support. Like I said, everything started there.
Waterboys.org is the website. Check it out. Doing fantastic work. Chris Long won a Super Bowl and then watched Cody Parkey hit the upright and the crossbar and won that game too. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Chris Long. You're the best, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's good to hear from y'all. See ya.
Waterboys.org. That is the charity. Check it out. When we come back, Danny Wexelman is the new host for Cardinals pre and post game and sideline. She'll be with us when we come back on KMOX.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling
and by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck
on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Well, spring training is officially underway. This is the flagship of the St. Louis Cardinals. This show, the Gas House Gang, is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. And now we welcome in on the guest line. We have with us Danny Wexelman, who is the new sideline reporter, studio host for St. Louis Cardinals baseball on the television side. Danny, welcome back home to St. Louis. How are you?
Oh, man. Ah.
I don't even know what that was.
Gosh.
That was for you.
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. I'll take that every day. Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having me. Thanks for that introduction. Thanks to the Cardinals for giving me this opportunity. I am beside myself, truly, getting to do this and work with such incredible people in St. Louis.
Danny, Bernie here. Free agent signing of the year, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm so glad you're back home. But I'm not trying to make you cry or anything like that. But I know how much this city means to you, how much that franchise and that sport means to you. And a lot of it is rooted in your incredible relationship with your late father. And you shared the joy of Cardinals baseball. So when you got the call that you got the job, I got to imagine that it was a very powerful thing to learn. And, you know, what were you thinking at that time? How much did it get to you?
Yeah, this is going to be cry count number 4, Bernie. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's really kind of you. Yeah. So listen, like I grew up in St. Louis like everybody else, and you are born a Cardinals fan and you fall in love with the sport. And how lucky was I to see 2 World Series and be old enough to understand like how special it was. But like when you grow up in St. Louis, it's the backbone of who you are, right? You are rooted in this community and it brings people together. And my high school softball coach, Brad Wallach at Eureka, would talk about the Cardinals all the time. Everyone around me in every space talks about the Cardinals. And yeah, my dad got me in softball. You know, I played in Ellisville. I played travel ball all around St. Louis. And I think, yeah, probably Bernie, if I'm being super honest and transparent, the hardest part is that I can't call him and tell him and he can't be here to see it. But, you know, immediately coming to my mind is just my connection to my hometown and my mom, who's the most amazing. I know, actually, she's with Alexa Datt right now. Alexa, one of my best friends, they just had lunch. And that's kind of the spirit of St. Louis, right? I think I wanted to stay connected. I wanted to honor my dad. I give out scholarships at Valley Park and Eureka. And St. Louis has been in my heart since I've been gone, 12 years now. So for the opportunity to, you know, honor my last name and the work that I've done to put myself in a spot, but just to be a part of how special St. Louis and the St. Louis Cardinals are is truly a dream come true for me.
And Danny, you're coming back home, as you said, to cover your hometown team. And I know you've been covering baseball. You've been doing baseball shows for a while now. So I know you know what is you know, what's here when and what the Cardinals are in 2026. So as they start spring training, just your general overview of what we might be in store for.
Yeah, it could give you 100,000 reasons why this team is going to be fascinating and fun and interesting, because when you have a group of really young guys who don't have the weight of the world on their shoulders and World Series or bust expectations, you're going to see a hyper-competitive group who is going to see leaders emerge. You're going to see Mason Winn continue to emerge as that Gold Glove superstar, and Victor Scott in center field, and Matthew Liberatore, who's clearly taking this incredible leadership role. And I think what's special and what my background is so unique is the fact that, you know, I covered Matthew Liberatore and Nolan Gorman when they were high school teammates, and obviously now it's a dream to be on the same team. I cover Jordan Walker. I covered Liam Doyle, who's in the organization, J.J. Weatherholt when he was in college. Like, so I want to bring the stories to life, and I think that people will fall in love with who these guys are and watching them compete. Like, Ollie Marmol's teams will compete, and they will be excellent on defense, and they'll have their bumps and bruises. But there's going to be a lot to love about this young group of guys, and hopefully guys who are playing more natural positions and getting a chance to shine.
Since you've had some time covering J.J. Weatherholt at West Virginia, and I'm sure you have a really good sense of who he is, how his teammates viewed him, how his coaches viewed him. So tell Cardinals fans, share your insights to J.J. Weatherholt, because I think Cardinals fans are very enthusiastic about wanting to get to know him.
I think JJ is going to slot in and already have some major leadership qualities coming from the college ranks. I think that my experience covering these guys when they get drafted and ascend so quickly like JJ has is because they know who they are really well. They know how to win. They know how to build chemistry with guys. And I think JJ just wants to be part of the team, even if he's not going to be at shortstop. I think wherever they decide to put him, he's going to compete. He's going to show you something. He's sparky. And I think he knows how to start to take competitive at bats, right? You're not going to see this guy swinging out of his shoes because he wants to impress you. He's just kind of a pro's pro, and, you know, he'll have his bumps and bruises like everybody does, but it seems like the team has already taken to him. I saw some really awesome reporting about Mason Wynn's comments about making him comfortable, which makes me feel like Mason is taking cool steps forward. But JJ is a special talent. I think he's worth the hype. And, you know, with prospects, as always, Bernie, I always say you got to give them some runway. Give them a chance to make some mistakes. And the game speeds up when you get to the big league level. And, you know, there's less veteran presence on this team. So Alec Burleson is going to have to help him. When Lars gets there, you know, all these older guys are going to have to kind of help show him the ropes. And I think that they will. But JJ is a really special talent, a great kid. And I think that he represents everything that the Cardinals do, too.
And so we know, Danny, this offseason, really, I guess you could say about a year, this organization has known that it needs to do some things better, one of them being the structural level at the minor leagues. They've renovated the spring training facility. There's that. There is more being invested in developing players. They have done better in terms of collecting minor league talent. So they know the deficiencies they've had. The job they've done in trying to correct that, at least the first steps from a national perspective, because you're coming from there too. I mean, you've been around people on the national level. How do they view what the Cardinals have done lately?
Well, I think that there's an appreciation for the steps that have been taken forward and to try to get back up to speed. The sport is so funny like that, guys, because the Cardinals had all the secrets and they had the recipe, right, a decade plus ago, and then all the other teams kind of figured it out. The smartest teams have the best technology. The teams that win the most, like the Dodgers and the Yankees, have the best information and technology. And that's a whole nother conversation about what that means exactly. But the Cardinals fell behind a little bit, and I think everybody knew it and you saw it. And so for them to improve in the ways that they have is exceptional. And I want to give some love too, because the trading that Heim Bloom has done in this offseason is incredible. The prospects that he's been able to bring back and build that farm system back up to be able to utilize all these incredible new facilities and features is just as important. Drafting and developing is the key. Like, if you look at the teams that succeed a lot too, their rosters are made up of majority homegrown. Now, that's going to look different for the Cardinals in the next few years, but not only has Heim done a good job building that infrastructure, you know, they have a huge draft coming up this summer. They got extra draft picks because of the Brendan Donovan trade, and with Seattle, like, they've done a really, really good job. And so, like, all of that combined puts them nationally in a much better spot. Their farm system nationally in a much better spot, which is going to be huge for them. And I think it's going to be quicker than people realize to see that when you see that on the field and you get to witness it firsthand. So I hope that fans can appreciate that and are willing to come out to the ballpark and watch this group of guys today.
All right, Danny, what's your first spring broadcast assignment going to be? What do we have coming up?
Yeah, I'll head down next weekend and we'll do the broadcast on the 23rd. So I am over the moon about it and just super surreal to be working with Chip and Brad. And of course, the entire radio crew, you know, Mike Claiborne called me. Like, I feel very loved and appreciated. And it's just really, it's an honor. I don't think people realize how special the St. Louis media is. And people that I've gotten to know over the last decade, even though I've been in New York, the guys there, the whole team, everybody involved has just been so great to me. So I can't wait to get to work with them and do that game on the 23rd.
Well, don't forget, we called you first. So
you did just, call me first.
Yeah, I'd like to make that clear.
That's right.
Of course. All right. Of course. Yes, my allegiances are right here with you guys.
Thank you, Danny. Congratulations.
Thanks,
again.
Guys. I'll see you soon.
Danny Wexelman. She will be on the TV broadcast for the Cardinals pre and post game. She'll be working sideline as well as their reporter, and she is coming back to St. Louis. And did you notice that I didn't say she was from Eureka this time? Because she's not. She went to Eureka High School. Danny Wexelman, we thank her for being a part of our show today. And we also thank Bernie Miklas, Saliga, for being a part of our show every day.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the bagel loan, and by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Our first spring training broadcast on KMOX will be the Cardinals and Nationals. That'll be February 21st. How about that? It is coming up here very, very quickly. And also, City SC, they will play their first game on February 21st. That's a regular season game. So there'll be a lot of things are happening, Bernie, and this is that time of year where it's still cold out, and we got Mardi Gras coming up this weekend. Super Bowl's over. Baseball hasn't exactly started yet, but now you're kind of feeling it, right? It's kind of, it's on the way, and you feel it.
Right, and I'm a weirdo. I'm a weirdo anyway, but
you're a good kind of weird.
Yeah, I genuinely am excited about the start of the baseball season because this is an extraordinarily different baseball season for the St. Louis Cardinals that they will have in my lifetime here in St. Louis. With all these years of cover, there's never been a season like this. And not that anybody wants to rebuild, but it is going to be fascinating for me to see how this team evolves and emerges and all the stuff that Heim Bloom does, and just to see a whole new generation of Cardinals baseball kind of take shape, right?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating spot that they're in their history.
And it's even more different than last year going in, because this year was the true acknowledgement that it was time to start over a bit. So,
right, no doubt.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hearing you on Rush Hour Sports tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Right. And go St. Louis U. Have to throw that in.
That's right. Billikens will play tomorrow night as well. We'll talk about that tomorrow for sure on the Gas House Gang. Mike Claiborne will be in. We'll check back in with Matt Pauley from spring training. So join us at 12 tomorrow. That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Chris Ranji. This has been the Gas House Gang, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis.